Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
Hello and welcome to Reality Check. Today is Tuesday, the 5th of January 2010, and I'm your host, Tony Pittman. And this is episode 22 of Reality Check here on Joy 94.9, and our very first episode of the new year and the new decade. So for those of you who use the Gregorian calendar, I'd like to wish you a very happy new year and a happy new decade. And if you're tuning in for the first time and wondering what is Reality Check, well, Reality Check is a show designed to give you a healthy dose of reality. And we do that by promoting the art of critical thinking and skeptical analysis. Each week, we bring you a roundup of LGBT news, followed by an in-depth analysis of an issue related to the paranormal or the pseudoscientific. And finally, we wrap up each show with a movie review. On today's show, after our LGBT news roundup, we're going to briefly return to a case we've been following here on Reality Check for several months now. That is the case of Tamar Stitt, a 10-year-old girl with liver cancer. And then we'll get into something much more fun, psychic predictions for 2010. We'll see what two of the world's supposedly greatest psychics have to say, and we might even make a few predictions of our own. Then in our movie review section, we'll have a look at the new Ricky Gervais film, The Invention of Lying. So for all that and more, stay tuned here on Reality Check on Joy 94.9. Okay, here's our LGBT news roundup for the last week or so. And let's start with the good news, and this week that comes from the US state of New Hampshire, where at the stroke of midnight on January 1st, marriage equality came into force, and about a dozen same-sex couples got married in a ceremony outside the New Hampshire State House in Concord, the state capital. Apparently, it was a freezing cold night, literally below zero, but those hardy couples withstood the cold to take part in that historic event. Some other couples went for the softer option and also got married just after midnight, but in the more comfortable environment of heated churches at various locations throughout the state. This makes New Hampshire now the fifth state in the United States to have same-sex marriage, along with Massachusetts, Connecticut, Iowa, and Vermont. Interestingly, New Hampshire has had civil unions for same-sex couples since 2008, and all those civil unions will automatically convert to marriages in 1 year's time on the 1st of January 2011. And the civil unions system will be abolished on that date. So the civil unions there were really just a stopgap measure in place for 2 years to give same-sex couples some practical legal rights until enough political will could be drummed up to pass full marriage, which actually happened in June last year. It went through the legislature. So, fantastic news there from New Hampshire, and congratulations to all our New Hampshire listeners. I know we have at least one listener in New Hampshire, Lawrence, so congratulations to you, Lawrence, and to any of your fellow New Hampshireites who might be listening as well. So that's about all the good news we've got this week. Let's go to the bad news now, and that's two stories from Africa. The first is from Malawi, where police in the country's largest city, Blantyre, arrested two men, Stephen Monjeza and Tiwonge Chimbalanga, on Monday, December 28th, for having taken part in a traditional engagement ceremony the previous Saturday that attracted hundreds of onlookers. According to the British Guardian newspaper, the two men are just 20 and 26 years old and met at church about 5 months ago and decided to hold a traditional ceremony to celebrate their relationship. They are currently in jail and apparently have been charged with three separate crimes relating to homosexuality and gross indecency, which could carry a penalty of up to 14 years in prison. The couple's lawyer had asked that they be allowed out of jail on bail, pending trial, but a magistrate yesterday, January 4th, ordered that they remain in custody, supposedly for their own protection, despite the fact that conditions in Malawi's prisons are particularly brutal, and the men claimed that they have already been beaten in prison several times. The prosecutor has also requested that the men be sent to hospital for tests to supposedly determine whether they had sex with each other. I don't know how you'd do that, but apparently they have that kind of technology in Malawi. Their trial is expected to begin next week. In an interview with the Times newspaper from the UK, Mr. Chimbalanga, speaking inside the jail, said, "We are not supposed to be here. You don't arrest someone because he loves someone." I have to say, I couldn't agree with him more. So, a very grim case, but it's at least somewhat heartening to know that there is an LGBT rights organisation in Malawi called the Centre for the Development of People, which is campaigning for the abolition of the country's sodomy laws. I certainly hope they succeed, and soon. And in another equally depressing story from Africa, 24 men were arrested at a house in the seaside resort town of Sali in Senegal on December 24th for what they're calling homosexual activities. The men were all attending a party at a private home. Apparently, evidence collected by police included cosmetics, wigs, condoms, and lube. Fortunately, the men were all released the next day, but police say they are continuing their investigations and may prosecute. Homosexuality in Senegal can lead to imprisonment for up to 5 years. Now, we've reported here before on Reality Check about the grim situation for LGBT rights in Senegal, and it seems that it will most likely be a long time before anything really changes much there. So, these cases serve to remind us, as if we needed reminding, that while advances are slowly but steadily being made in LGBT rights in a few parts of the world, the situation for LGBT rights and LGBT people in the vast majority of the world remains very bleak indeed. The concept of LGBT rights is just completely unheard of for probably, I'd reckon, about 90% of the world's population. Okay, that's all our LGBT news for today. Let's listen to a song now, and when we come back, we'll briefly return to the Tamar Stitt case, and then we'll have a look at some psychic predictions for 2010. Want to know what's going to happen in the year ahead? Well, stay tuned and you'll find out here on Reality Check on Joy 94.9.
All day, all day, all night. Joy 94.9.
Welcome back to Reality Check. I'm Tony Pittman and the station is Joy 94.9. And the song you just heard there was Never Be the Same Again by Mel C, featuring Lisa Left Eye Lopez. Okay, we now move into the part of the show where we undertake a skeptical analysis of a subject related to pseudoscience or the paranormal. And today we're going to have some fun and look at psychic predictions for 2010. But first, I'd like to do something that could not be described as fun in any way, and that is return briefly to a case that we've been following here on Reality Check for a number of months now, and that is the case of Tamar Stitt, a 10-year-old girl from Perth with liver cancer. I won't go into too many of the details about the case here because I've already talked about it three times before on Reality Check, but briefly, Tamar was being treated for liver cancer at the Princess Margaret Hospital in Perth. The oncologists there concluded that the only hope of saving her life was with a course of chemotherapy. Tamar's parents didn't want her to have chemotherapy, and on September the 1st last year, took her to El Salvador to avoid a court order that would have required her to undergo chemotherapy and to pursue over there a so-called natural therapy, which involved wrapping her in mud for several hours a day. Unfortunately, it has now emerged that Tamar passed away on November 12th last year at the Benjamin Bloom Children's Hospital in San Salvador. Her death was reported last week on the Current Affairs show Today Tonight, and I later spoke with the Channel 7 reporter to confirm the details of the story. So, unfortunately, this story has an extremely tragic ending and ends up being yet another case of a family that rejects science-based medicine in favor of some alternative therapy with extremely tragic consequences. Maybe the most heartbreaking and frustrating part of this whole story is that the parents obviously genuinely wanted to save their child, and yet it was their actions that made her death inevitable in the end. And while it was absolutely clear to all the medical staff who were trying to help Tamar that her parents were making a terrible mistake, no one could get through to them. Anyway, I'm not going to comment any further on this case. It's obviously an extremely sensitive case, and Tamar's family and friends must be going through a very painful grieving process. So let's try to change the mood here now on Reality Check, because today's episode is the first of the new year. So I thought it would be fun to take some time out from more serious issues and have a look at some psychic predictions for the upcoming year. We'll have a look at what two of the world's greatest psychics have to say, and we might even end up doing some soothsaying here ourselves. So let's have a look at what those psychics say will happen in 2010. Well, one of the most famous and well-respected psychics in the United States is a slimy and disgusting old hag called Sylvia Brown. And if you don't believe me, just go to her website, sylviabrown.com, and try not to vomit. That's Sylvia with a Y and Brown with an E on the end. She's like some kind of cross between a really tacky drag queen and Patty and Selma Bouvier, you know, Marge Simpson's chain-smoking sisters. And if you go to her website these days, you can see her amazing predictions for 2010. So, what does the amazing Ms. Brown have to say? Well, she says really insightful things, like,
President Obama is doing a good job, and healthcare will be better for everyone.
Oh, really, Sylvia? How amazing. What an incredible prediction. And I'm so glad that you're here to steer us through these troubled times. She also talks about accidents, and terrorist activity.
I'm still saying, and I've said this for 3 years, every year, trains, for God's sake, be careful of trains.
But Sylvia, you've said it every year for 3 years, and, well, there was a nasty train crash in California in 2008, so I guess you were right once, but what about the other years? There wasn't any terrible accident or terrorist attack on a train in the United States then, so weren't you therefore wrong? Oh no, I see. It's just that the spirits gave you a sneak preview ahead of time of what's coming this year. Oh, well, thank you for warning us, Sylvia. Very kind of you. The great psychic also says,
there will be new X-ray equipment at most major airports that is very innovative. It reminds me of one of those movies that Arnold was in.
She really says that. Have a look at her website. Oh, Sylvia, you're really such a genius. Words really do fail me. And Sylvia blabs on and on with all kinds of revealing and astounding tidbits like those. But maybe her best prediction for 2010 is one that I'll try to play for you here. Let's see if it works, if I press the right button. Hang on a second, listeners.
Everybody's concerned about the weather, I think, for the tsunamis and all that stuff. Weather is going to be more unpredictable than it has been in 25 years, and I think this has to do with the polar tilt.
Did you hear that? That was Sylvia's real voice. And just in case you didn't catch what she said there, she said, everybody's concerned about the weather, I think, for the tsunamis and all that stuff. Weather is going to be more unpredictable than it has been in 25 years, and I think this has to do with the polar tilt. Just incredible, isn't it? Oh, thank you, Sylvia, for bringing light into my life. It was only through you that I discovered that tsunamis are actually a weather phenomenon, along with all that stuff. And as for the polar tilt and weather being unpredictable, well, Sylvia, oh, Sylvia, what can I say? Seriously, what can one say? I get the feeling that Sylvia Brown is raking in so many millions of dollars these days that she doesn't even have to try anymore. I mean, she doesn't even make predictions. Or at best, she makes really stupid, vague, general predictions, or predicts things that have already happened anyway, or are about to happen, and are pretty much a certainty. And can you believe it? She really does make millions of dollars. People pay her hundreds of dollars for her readings, and they buy her ridiculous books in the thousands. It's really very sad. So if you're a psychic, you can choose to be a total douchebag like Sylvia Brown and say basically nothing but spout a lot of hot air, or you can go out on a limb and predict something really amazing and specific. And here I'd like to turn to the other amazing psychic that we're going to look at tonight. Her name is Nikki, Psychic to the Stars. She appears on radio in the United States and even TV, so she must be good. And she has a webpage where she's put up all her predictions for 2010. And she has made literally hundreds of predictions. Yes, hundreds. So you can already see that Nikki is a pretty smart psychic. Because the more predictions you make, the more likely you are to get at least a few of them correct sometime during the year. Now, you can visit her webpage too if you want, and that's psychicnikki.com. That's Nikki, N-I-K-K-I. Her very first prediction for 2010 goes like this.
Trouble on the moon's surface and atmosphere.
What?
the moon suddenly acquired an atmosphere? And only Psychic Nikki knows? Oh my God, that's amazing! Somebody get NASA on the line now! Okay, so maybe Nikki's not the brightest bulb on the chandelier, but she knows how to make good psychic predictions. She makes a lot of very general and vague ones too, just like Sylvia Brown does. That will give her a certain guaranteed baseline hit rate for next year. For example, she says, "Danger around President Barack Obama." Gosh, danger. You mean he might almost choke on a pretzel like George W. did? Oh, or you mean like when Bill Clinton tore a tendon in his knee when he tripped on a step? Or you mean something more sinister? Well, good old Nikki has got all her bases covered because her next two predictions are the following. Assassination attempt against President Barack Obama and assassination of Barack Obama. Now, there's a smart psychic for you. That's called having your cake and eating it too. Whatever happens, Nikki wins. Even if Barack Obama doesn't hurt himself at all, at least whenever he goes on a visit somewhere, there will be tight security because of all those perceived threats against the president. Now, if that doesn't count as danger around the president, I don't know what does. So, a guaranteed hit there for Nikki. She also predicts President Sarkozy of France in danger. And danger also around the Dalai Lama. Except that she can't spell Dalai, so she writes Dalia Lama instead. Yes, that's right, Dalia with an H, as in Dahlia, you know, the flower. Oh, well, poor Nikki, how do you expect her to be able to spell all these complicated foreign words when she's too busy communicating with the spirits? Now, let me just go quickly through some of her other amazingly general and vague predictions. Another sex scandal in Washington, D.C. and Washington, D.C. on fire. Whatever that means. Trouble on the Paris subway. And trouble at the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco. Well, I guess those ones depend on how broadly you define trouble. But I'm sure Nikki doesn't get too bogged down in these kinds of technicalities. She also predicts a worldwide computer virus and the discovery of ancient dinosaur fossils. As if both these events didn't happen pretty much all the time. She predicts problems with North Korea. Wow, who would have thought? And the stock market will plunge for a couple of days, but will recover. Oh, okay, you mean, like it does all the time? And just in case all those predictions are not certain enough, she also has her Health Watch list on which she puts a lot of world-famous celebrities. And strangely enough, many of those celebrities are now in their 70s, 80s, and 90s. Here are a few from Nikki's list on Health Watch. Fidel Castro, Jimmy Carter, Nelson Mandela, Clint Eastwood, Brigitte Bardot, Tippi Hedren, Hugh Hefner, the Duke of Edinburgh, Jerry Lewis, Billy Graham, Nancy Reagan, George Bush Sr. and Barbara Bush, Mickey Rooney, Doris Day, Lauren Bacall, Zsa Zsa Gabor, and Shirley Temple. And yes, dear listener, I checked, and Shirley Temple is still apparently alive. Now, from a list like that, the biggest miracle would not be that Nikki somehow managed to predict one of their deaths, but actually that they all make it through the year without at least one of them dying. Now that would be amazing. Oh wait, and I forgot, perhaps her most shocking prediction of all.
Elizabeth Taylor will have health problems.
Gasp! No, not Liz! That pillar of health and vitality? Not possible! Well, apart from all these, she even makes the following amazing prediction just to cover all possible contingencies.
A movie star legend from Hollywood will pass.
Well, really, what can I say? Now, the other thing that she does, which I find quite disturbing, is that, like Sylvia Brown, she includes earthquakes, volcanoes, and tsunamis amongst her wild weather predictions. Maybe there was something I missed in my Year 9 science class. But, oh well, never mind. Now, the other thing that Nikki does as a good psychic is, along with all those really general predictions to give her a guaranteed minimum hit rate, she also makes some that are really much more specific and some that are really just way out there. And we've seen this tactic before here on Reality Check when we talked about the so-called psychic medium John Edward. In fact, all the good psychics use it because it has a very small downside but an enormous potential upside. For example, one of Nikki's more specific predictions for last year, 2009, was that a commercial jetliner and a meteorite would collide. Now, if that didn't come true, which it didn't, fortunately, well, it's no great loss to Nikki. No one will remember anyway. Poor Nikki was just a bit confused about the psychic signals she was receiving. Or maybe the fact that she mentioned it alerted the authorities to the danger and they were able to avoid any such collision. Whatever, it doesn't matter. It's easily dismissed. And possibly also discreetly removed from the web page in due course. But if, against all probability, a meteorite had actually collided with a commercial jetliner, Nikki would look like the greatest psychic on earth. So for her, it's really a no-lose situation. So go on, make a few way-out predictions. What have you got to lose? Virtually nothing. So let's have a look at some of her more specific and out-there predictions for 2010.
The lost city of Atlantis will be found. Reptiles will invade El Paso, Texas. Giant bats will attack a city in South America. An ocean liner will sink like the Titanic. A sea serpent will be found off the coast of Japan. Another planet with life will be found in the universe.
And take note, dear listener, not the solar system or the galaxy, but
the universe. The Sydney Opera House in Australia will have a massive fire.
And finally, my favorite,
serious injuries to a Hollywood movie star on an amusement ride at a theme park.
Oh, gosh. Oh, God, I just hope it won't be Keanu. Please, God, not Keanu. Make it Tom Cruise or someone, anyone, just not Keanu. Anyway, they're all pretty unlikely pot shots that Nikki is taking there, but you never know. Maybe 2010 will be Nikki's lucky year and she'll win the psychic jackpot. But hang on, why should Sylvia and Nikki be the only ones to play the psychic jackpot? We here at Reality Check can play that game as well. So what I propose to do right now is consult with my spirit guides and make a few predictions of my own. And because it's a little bit of an obsession we have here on Reality Check, I thought that I would try to predict the way the dominoes are going to fall in the slow but steady progress of same-sex marriage around the world. Oh, and there's another more
drastic prediction I want to make, but let's come to that in a moment. Okay, I predict that same-sex marriage will not be blocked in either Washington, D.C. or Mexico City, and we'll see the first same-sex marriages being performed in both those cities in March this year. Okay, too easy. All right, I know. It's already a virtual certainty. Okay, so I also predict that the Portuguese Parliament will vote on a law to legalize same-sex marriage sometime in 2010. But I predict that the US state of New Jersey will unfortunately not get same-sex marriage within the next 12 months. Okay, all right, still too easy. Okay, so what about some more unexpected events? For example, what will be the next country to get same-sex marriage after Portugal? Well, I'm going to predict that it will be Slovenia. There seems to be some movement towards marriage equality there, so my prediction is that Slovenia will vote for same-sex marriage in 2010, but it won't come into effect until 2011. And that'll make it the first Eastern European country to get same-sex marriage. Okay, but what about after Slovenia? Who will be next? Well, that's tougher. I predict it will be, let's say, Denmark and Iceland. I mean, they've got to get in on the act eventually, or they'll be just left way behind. And come on, Iceland does have an openly lesbian prime minister. Okay, and as for the next US state to get same-sex marriage, well, I think Rhode Island will get it in 2011 once their nasty right-wing governor has left office. Some might say Washington State or New York or even California through legal challenges, but no, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that the next three US states to get same-sex marriage will be Maryland, Hawaii, and New Mexico. I don't know how it will come about, but that's what my spirit guides are telling me. Okay, so enough of these silly predictions about things that it's actually possible to analyze. I'm going to try my luck for the psychic jackpot and make some really way out celebrity death predictions that will prove, when they come true, that I really am psychic. And I'm not going to be like Nikki and choose, I don't know, Kirk Douglas or someone who's already 93. Way too easy. Now, you could say I'm going out on a limb here, but this is what the spirits are telling me. John Howard, Tony Blair, and George W. Bush will all die in freak accidents during 2010. It's hard to believe, I know, but hey, you can't argue with the spirits. John Howard will be going for a walk beside the water at Sydney Harbour and will be struck by lightning. Tony Blair will be on a visit to Israel and will take a misstep and will fall off a cliff to his death. And George W. Bush will be jogging on his ranch in Texas and will be attacked by killer bees. He'll spend 3 days in a coma hanging on to life by a thread before finally succumbing to the poison of the deadly stings. And my final prediction for 2010 is that America's psychic sweetheart, Sylvia Brown, will choke to death on a peanut butter sandwich, and she will never even have seen it coming. Okay, so those are the reality check predictions for 2010. We'll come back to them in 1 year's time and see how accurate I was, and see if I get to win James Randi's $1 million prize for anyone who can demonstrate they have psychic powers. And I promise, dear listener, that if I do win, I'll share some of the money with you, because I really couldn't have done it without you. Now, finally, before we get into another song, if you have any questions or comments about what we've covered on the show, or maybe your own predictions for 2010, please feel free to send us an email. The address is realitychecktony, that's T-O-N-Y, at gmail.com. You can also visit our website if you like, that's realitycheckonline.net. There you can download past episodes of Reality Check. All right, let's listen to our final song for today, and when we come back, we'll get into this week's movie review.
Hello, we're the Kransky sisters on Joy 94.9.
Welcome back to Reality Check with me, Tony Pittman, on Joy 94.9. Also streaming live at joy.org.au and also available as a podcast to listen to anywhere in the world on your little pod. The song you just heard there was Dímelo by drop dead gorgeous Latino hunk Enrique Iglesias. And we've just got an SMS here in the studio from someone who didn't send their name but asked, is Sylvia Brown single? She sounds beautiful. Oh, well, she is a very, how can I put it, special person. So do check out her website. And I believe that she is single. She has a son, but I think she's divorced. Something you'll have to investigate. Good luck. Okay, it's movie review time here on Reality Check. And the movie up for review this week is a romantic comedy with an atheistic twist, The Invention of Lying. The Invention of Lying is the latest production from British comedian, actor, filmmaker, and prominent atheist Ricky Gervais. And amongst all the various critics who have given their opinion of the film, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops was the one who most caught my attention, as they gave it a rating of 0, morally offensive. So with a review like that from the Catholic bishops, it's certainly off to a very promising start in my book. The Invention of Lying is set in a parallel world where everybody tells the truth all the time. The concept of lying is unknown. And as a consequence, everybody believes everything that someone else tells them. Which turns out to be very useful when Mark Bellison, played by Ricky Gervais, comes up with the concept of lying. Because it means that people will believe whatever he tells them. And I have to say that this is a perfect setup for quite a lot of hilarious scenes in the movie. For example, at one point he approaches an extremely attractive woman on the street. She tries to avoid him and says, "Don't waste your time, I'm way out of your league, I'm not sexually attracted to you," etc. But as she walks away, he says to her, "The world is going to end if we don't have sex right now." She immediately stops and turns around with a horrified look on her face and asks, "Do we have time to go to a motel or do we have to do it right here on the street?" And there are lots of very funny moments like that during the film. I have to say, I did laugh quite a lot in this movie. The most interesting element of the movie, though, is its overt critique of religion. In this alternative reality, there is no religion of any kind. Everybody believes that when you die, consciousness ends and there is eternal nothingness. Yet one day after he's learnt to lie, Mark is in the hospital visiting his mother, whom they discover is about to die. To comfort her, he tells her that it's not oblivion that awaits her, but rather she will go to another place, a beautiful place, where she'll live in a mansion and get everything she wants, and she'll be reunited with all her loved ones who died before her. Some of the hospital staff overhear this, and very quickly the word gets out that Mark Bellison knows what happens after you die. Soon, crowds form all over the world to hear the amazing truth that Mark has to reveal about the afterlife. Mark reluctantly invents 10 principles and writes them down on 2 pieces of paper and goes out to the front of his building to read them to the crowd and to the worldwide audience tuning in over TV and radio. And I reckon this is the best scene in the movie, because as Mark reads out his Ten Commandments, members of the audience, in their innocence, call out very obvious questions to him. Mark tells them that there is a man in the sky who watches over everyone and who controls everything. So the people, in their naive curiosity, ask, well, where is the man in the sky? In which part of the sky? In outer space? In the stratosphere? How come we can't see him? Etc., etc. And Mark gets increasingly frustrated and annoyed, but perseveres. The best part is when he tells them that as well as the nice place where they will go if they are good, and where they'll live in mansions and have all the ice cream they want in any flavor, he also tells them that there's a bad place where they will go if they do bad things. The people then shout out the obvious questions. Well, what's a bad thing? How do we know what's good and what's bad? What if we do a bad thing by accident? And how many bad things are we allowed to do? Etc., etc. And this, I reckon, is the most interesting point in the movie, because it really highlights what I think is one of the weakest points in pretty much all the organized world religions. And that is, what constitutes good behavior as opposed to bad, and how do we know? Religions tend to gloss over this because, well, probably because it's so difficult to answer if you look at it in any depth. George W. Bush most likely believed that he was doing good during his presidency, and yet many people believed he was doing evil. The same could be said for Osama bin Laden. Who's right? Only one of them? Or all of them? Or none of them? How could we possibly know? How can we know what is the right thing to do? Does it depend on our motivation or on the results of our acts? And if it depends on our motivation, well, how can we ever truly know what our motivation is? One thing we've learnt over the last century since Freud came along and the study of psychology and neurology really got underway is that a person's motivation is not always clear, even to him or herself. So if we really don't know what our motivation is, does God know? And then can we somehow be blamed for what we do if we don't know why we do it, but God does? Now, the movie doesn't get into all these kinds of questions, obviously, but it does have a good stab at organized religion in a very clever way, and stabs straight into religion's weakest points in ways that you rarely ever see on the big screen. So I really enjoyed this aspect of The Invention of Lying. The main problem with the film, though, is that it doesn't really go much further than this. I would have preferred a much deeper and more biting exploration of all the other problems with organized religion. Instead, the screenwriters chose to stop the critique of religion at that point, basically, and go back to the formulaic root of the classic romantic comedy. Mark falls in love with a girl at the start of the movie, she falls for him, but then there are a series of obstacles that they have to overcome until the very end when, of course, finally he gets the girl. And where else but at the altar of a church where she's about to marry another man? As if we haven't seen that a million times before. But this tired, cliched formula is not done as satire, it's done in earnest. And by the end of the movie, it all feels very light and silly. Which is ironic, really, for a movie that deals in part with such profoundly interesting and philosophical subject matter. So, in a nutshell, The Invention of Lying is a funny and pretty enjoyable film, and it makes some interesting points about religion, but only really in passing. And in my opinion, it's ultimately a bit of a misfire and a wasted opportunity to turn the romantic comedy genre on its head and get into an hilarious but at the same time serious and biting exploration of some of the deepest problems at the heart of organized religion. And that brings us to the end of the 22nd episode of Reality Check on Joy 94.9. I hope you enjoyed the show. Remember to send any questions, comments, or feedback to realitychecktony@gmail.com and visit our website at realitycheckonline.net. And remember to tune in at 10 o'clock next Tuesday for episode 23. Have a great week, everyone. See you next week.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.